Hey there, podcast listeners. This is Chantel, having a 2-drink minimum at her kitchen table. Today is Sunday, April 15th, 2018, at 1:11 in the afternoon. It is a cold, blustery, blecky, blue, gray spring spring day. It's lovely out. And going back through old photos over the last couple of years, by this time for the last 3 years, my bulbs have done bloomed and are starting to die. Things are very much greening up in the garden. I've started moving things outside, started buying things, have some of the colder vegetables going, like the lettuces and such. No, not this year. Nope. Not this year. I have a couple tomato plants upstairs that are they're looking weak. They're begging to be outside. So yeah, I am drinking coffee and it's not even hot coffee, which it should be on a day like today. I'm drinking iced coffee and I really kind of want hot cocoa. Like the really good bad cocoa where it's just liquid chocolate with whipped cream. And then maybe some heavy cream in there so you get the full fat effect. Yeah, I can see that in my future later on today. So let's see. Friday, we did a missile strike against Syria. Yesterday was just blue and black, and most people were feeling blue and black from what I saw on social media. Today, I'm starting to feel better. And thought I could maybe knock a couple topics out, or definitely at least one topic. However, before going into the topic I want to discuss, the headline that I saw right before going on air was that Joe Biden is thinking of running for president in 2020. He hasn't ruled it out. And what I have to say to that is no, no, we don't want you. You're part of the problem. No. And I understand people are going to get excited because Joe is funny and Joe's such a good guy and Joe did such a good job with Obama. Does anybody remember Creepy Veepy? Does anybody remember how Joe used to just creep up on these women while getting a photograph and like the little girls next to him would just be looking super, super, super awkward? How come that wasn't part of the Me Too movement? Like Joe Biden, Creepy Veepy. Other than that, he's been a U.S. senator for however many years. I can look that up super quick. Oh, a U.S. senator from 1973 to 2009. No, you are part of the establishment. You are part of the problem. No. Truly, all I can think is no. I can't think of any other words other than no. But no, he is part of the problem. I understand he's a good guy and he laughs jokes, makes jokes and everything, but Creepy Veepy, establishment politician, was a vice president. So we're gonna have, this is what our presidents are now. So as somebody that was a US senator from 73 to 2009, vice president from 2009 to 2016, and then took a couple years off and then comes back as president. Because let's see. It was, not to mention all the people that were our senators, a family of just senators forever, aka the Kennedys, and then run for president or governorships or things like that, that it's just these established families. But my point, Bush, first one, HW, was in the military, then he worked for the CIA, then he was vice president, then he was president. Then we had Clinton for 8 years. Then we had Bush for 8 years. Jeb, governor in Florida. Then Jeb runs for president. He was very low energy though. That's why he stood no chance. Very low energy. Then Clinton, Hillary, spouse to Bill, who was president for 8 years. Then she was a senator. Then Secretary of State. Then took a couple years off and ran for president. No, new fresh faces, new blood. And obviously, I want Bernie Sanders to run and win in 2020, or someone very much like him, but I don't know who that could be. And it's not going to be a Kamala Harris, and it's not going to be a Cory Booker, because that is also part of the problem. And when I hear interviews with celebrities, and I heard one recently with Sean Penn, where, you know, he's an activist and he goes to these dangerous places and he seems to speak to these topics, but then he goes and speaks to about elections and he is really excited about someone like a Kamala Harris. And it's like, no, you don't get it either. Like, you give the appearance that you get it because you speak to these topics and you go to these places and you do, you know, blockbustery type activist movies. But Kamala Harris is also part of the problem. She's in the DNC in corporate America, and she's just as corrupt as all the others. Again, she just gives the appearance of someone who is with the people. Mm-mm. No. We would want a Tulsi Gabbard. We would want a Bernie Sanders. Yeah, sadly, that's all I can think of right at the moment. That's sad. There's more, but that's all I can think of in terms of like a national stage that people would actually know. And speaking to his age, Biden is 75. When people would be like, Bernie Sanders is so old, I don't want him. Okay, well, Biden is 75 and Sanders is 76. Biden was born in November 20th, 1942, and Bernie was born September 8th, 1941. So, suck it. Okay, that's all I have to say on that. No. All I have to say on that is no. So the topic that I want to talk about today is a story that came out a couple days ago, and it's saying that it was updated 4 days ago, and I don't know what it could have been updated to. But the headline is, Homeland Security to compile a database of journalists, bloggers, and influencers. And this is from the Huffington Post on April 6, 2018. So what this is going to go into, and I didn't see anything other than this one time trending headline that popped up, but it scares the crap out of me. So the Department of Homeland Security sparked concerns among media circles after news spread that the agency was creating an online database to monitor journalists, bloggers, social media influencers, and others. The word got out after Bloomberg government surfaced a job posting from DHS seeking a contractor for, quote, media monitoring services, end quote, project. The job entails creating a searchable database that has the ability to track about 290,000 news sources, both foreign and domestic, according to the DHS statement of work. 290,000. 290,000. No. Continuing. And one is too many. Continuing. The contractor will help DHS monitor, quote, traditional news sources as well as social media, identify any and all media coverage related to the Department of Homeland Security or a particular event, end quote. The job description reads, quote, services shall provide media comparison tools, design and rebranding tools, communication tools, and the ability to identify top media influencers. The online platform should also be able to instantly translate media from 100 languages, including Chinese and Russian, into English. It should also be able to analyze the coverage's, quote, sentiment and momentum, end quote. With President Trump's aggressive rhetoric against the mainstream media, mainstream news, he once labeled journalists as, quote, enemy of the people, end quote. Many in the media industry saw the database as yet another attack on the free press. I agree. So I want to see what the update was. Okay, well, the article continues. When asked for comment on the purpose of the database, Homeland Security Press Secretary Tyler Holton sent HuffPost a link to a tweet he published Friday afternoon. In his tweet, Holton maintains that the database of journalists is, quote, standard practice of monitoring current events, and suggests that those suspicious of its purpose are tinfoil hat-wearing black helicopter conspiracy theorists, end quote. Holton did not respond to HuffPost's follow-up question on whether a similar database had already existed within the Department of Homeland Security and what the agency intends to do with the information. Okay, I'm going to go back to that quote. So Holton maintains that the database is of journalists, a standard practice of monitoring current events, and suggests that those suspicious of its purpose are, quote, tinfoil hat-wearing black helicopter conspiracy theorists, end quote. You know what? When you make fun of us and when you make fun and say shit like that, no. I immediately think you're doing exactly what we say you're doing, which is that you're monitoring people and you're monitoring mass communication and you're doing censorship. Nope. When there's a quote to immediately discredit something, be suspicious. Nope. First they ignore you. Then they make fun of you. Then they discredit you. Okay, so is it security or is it censorship and free speech? I'm looking for the update because it says it was updated, but I do not see anything about an update. So just a lot of tweets of people saying this is totally legit and it's not Orwellian. It's just, this is the common practice. Why? Why is it common practice? I think what we need to ask is, why is this common practice? And if it's common practice, then we're really late on freaking out because we should have been freaking out a long time ago. That's what I have to say to that. So, in relation to detaining activists and social media and online and online journalists and just journalists in general, I just meant journalists in general. Here are now two headlines. This is from Democracy Now. These are both going to be from Democracy Now, and they're both going to be from April 13th, 2018. So Muslim activist Yasmin Abdel Maghi, I hate it because I know I'm butchering their name. Yasmin Abdel Maghi. So her last name is Abdel hyphen Maghied, refused entry to U.S. Muslim activist, author, and TV personality Yasmin has arrived back in London after she was detained, had her smartphone seized, and was deported by Customs and Border Protection officials after landing in Minneapolis, Minnesota on Wednesday. Yasmin is a Sudanese-born Australian citizen who had been scheduled to speak at the Penn World Voice Festival in New York at a panel titled The M-Word, No Country for Young Muslim Women. She says she previously traveled to the U.S. on the same visa that was denied this week. In a statement, Penn America wrote, quote, "The barriers for international writers and activists visiting the U.S. are growing, impairing the ability of PEN America and other organizations to foster cross-border dialogues that are so essential at this time," end quote. Yeah, taking someone's phone, that's truly... It's taking someone's diary. I mean, it's everything, and they know it. It has everything on it. I was watching an episode of Vice from this current season, so Vice on HBO, the news program, and they had a story on there about China and China's facial recognition technology and how they're using it, and it was terrifying, absolutely fucking terrifying, where their facial recognition technology has gotten so good that they now use it to publicly shame people. So if people jaywalk, and again, this is in China, if people jaywalk, then the cameras, because there's cameras every fucking where, will scan your face and then put your face up on a billboard to publicly shame you. But then they also have like a smile pay feature where, so you go up to like a vending machine and it will just scan your face and then it will deduct it from your bank account. Terrifying. Then there is also security measures in terms of like if you don't work here or if you're not allowed in this part of the office building, then it will recognize that, scans your face, and you won't be allowed in. It had caught, I wanted to say 300,000 criminals, but that seems excessive. But then again, it's China and they have 1 billion people that live there. But I think it was only 3,000. I think it was 3,000 criminals. But for some reason, I really have 300,000. Anyway, it was some number with a three. Criminals. So people that, had done something. They didn't specify what. And then they were able to catch them because of all of the cameras that they have all over the fucking place and because of the facial recognition. No. Terrifying. Absolutely fucking terrifying. And the trade tariffs with China, it's supposedly over technology and wanting to dominate that field. And I wonder how much of that has to do with facial recognition technology. Oh, and they compared it to, they said what they what the Chinese officials said that they compared it to, what it was going to be. If you watch Black Mirror, it was oh, I forget the title of it, but it's the one with Bryce Howard, right? I think that's her name, Ron Howard's daughter, and it's the social media one. So you're scored based on appearance and how many likes you get. It was that episode, and he compared it to that's what the future is going to be because it was ranking people's beauty, and they were trying to, China is already trying to prohibit people from using public transportation. So like the trains and trains, so not necessarily buses and things like that, because they have a low score. Like, what the fuck? Like the Black Mirror episode where she couldn't get a cab or get a good rental car because her social score had fallen so low. Like, that is mind-blowing, terrifying. Absolutely fucking terrifying. And of course it said that you could wear a wig or heavy makeup or different things and it wouldn't matter. And I was like, I would learn how to do like makeup, like scary makeup, like changing your features makeup. What am I trying to say? Prosthetics for your face, like making yourself have a really big nose or changing your ears or something. Like, so terrifying. Like shit like that, again, makes me just want to go into the middle of nowhere, completely off the grid. It also makes me want to just use cash. Oh, I know what got me on this topic. And I'm not even drinking, I'm drinking coffee. I just forgot it again. And I were talking last night, smartphone. Oh, got it. That in terms of tracking us, that we willingly did it. That's what smartphones. I'm there, full circle. So, in terms of the government trying to track us, they didn't have to stick a device in us. We willingly did it with our debit cards, our credit cards, and our cell phones. Like, we willingly, in social media, willingly, happily, stupidly, giddily give, and gave them all of the information that they could possibly ever need. Brilliant. The most brilliant thing ever. And it totally makes me want to just use cash and just, yeah, no. When I get coupons from Target every month or so, completely based on my buying habits, yeah, don't like it. And then, oh, I'm not even gonna go in there. Okay, moving on. I was gonna go down another rabbit hole and we're just gonna move on. So, yeah, that was a Muslim woman activist who was detained. Then the next story, again from April 13th, Democracy Now! Columnist Sean King detained at airport and questioned over activism. The incident came 2 days after journalist and activist Sean King, so they're referring to the Muslim woman that I just spoke about, and activist Sean King and members of his family were detained at JFK Airport in New York by a Customs and Border Patrol agent after returning from a vacation in Egypt. On Twitter, King said the agent asked about his support of the Black Lives Matter movement. He added, quote, "Family was shook up a bit at first, took us all to a secluded questioning room. What I know is that my Muslim friends deal with this ugliness every single day. Officer had clearly been reading my tweets and knew all about me," end quote. Sean King is a columnist at The Intercept who writes about civil rights, mass incarceration, racial justice, and police brutality. Yep, don't speak out about those things. Nope, nope, nope. Nobody, nope, nope, nope. Just turn a blind eye and let it continue. So then that got me thinking. And actually, when I first read the Huffington Post headline about them starting, the government starting a database on journalists and activists, the quote came to mind, first they came for the socialists, that poem. And for some reason, I kept thinking that in this quote, that they then came for the press. And then I realized I was thinking of the Science of Fascism. Science of Fascism. These are the early warning signs of fascism. Powerful and continuing nationalism. Make America great again. Disdain for human rights. Fuck everyone. Unless you're a rich white person. Specifically rich white men. Identification of enemies, scapegoats as a unifying cause. All of the immigrants always having to have an other. Right now, that other is Russia. And we haven't completely given up on the Muslims. Immigrants right now, specifically Mexicans. And then the other right now, the big other right now would be Russia. But there's also North Korea and the Middle East. Supremacy of the military, again, increased it by $80 billion just for this next year. Rampant sexism. Women, how do you feel about our current government? And in general, just the Republicans taking away your reproductive rights and having any say over your body. Shutting down and reducing funding, the shutting down of Planned Parenthood and reducing funding to Planned Parenthood. Controlled mass media, refer to topic A of this. Obsession with national security. Again, let's just go back to we have the border wall, we have increasing of the nukes, we have the Syria strike, we've had two so far under Trump, I think just two, three, I think two. Yeah, last spring, this spring, not a good time. North Korea, the Middle East, Russia, alleged hacking of our election. Yeah. Okay. The technology that I just spoke of in terms of watching us. Religion and government are intertwined. Hello, religious right. Why is it okay for the religious, for the Christian right to be making our policies and our laws? What happened to the separation of church and state? What happened to the very fundamental reasons for why people left their native land to come to the United States or America or this foreign land that had no name? Religious persecution. Corporate power is protected. Yeah. Tax bill. GOP tax bill. But then just also in terms of getting rid of regulations. Labor power is suppressed. How many unions do you know of? How many unions are still left? And of those unions, how, like, in terms of power, what kind of power do they have? Collective bargaining being taken away in this state, but then also being chipped away in other states. Disdain for intellectuals and the arts. Mm-hmm. Trump loves the uneducated, but then also defunding all of the arts programs. Obsession with crime and punishment. We have private prisons. Plus just the military-industrial complex, which can go back to the ramping up of the supremacy of the military. We're going to give the death penalty to drug pushers. And for the opioid crisis, it's the death penalty. Ramping up drug penalties for people smoking marijuana. And then just this past weekend, I think just on Friday or maybe even yesterday, Trump and the Colorado senator finally Trump backed down on trying to impose federal regulations, federal laws in Colorado for the fact that Colorado has legalized weed. Come on. How would you even do that? How would you even differentiate between states' rights and the federal government in a case like that? Rampant cronyism and corruption. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I need to say anything to that. Fraudulent elections. If you want to believe the collusion, Russia, interference. So, yeah. And I'm not saying that these things started under Trump. I'm saying that they've been going on for a while and they're just ramped up and more apparent under Trump because more of us are paying attention and he's an idiot. And so it's easier to see these things. So this didn't start with Trump. It's just more obvious and it's getting ramped up. And in terms of the media, W really cracked down on the media when it came to the Iraq War. And if you spoke out against the Iraq War, Scooter Libby, the reason why Trump pardoned him is because Scooter Libby was the chief of staff under Dick Cheney. And then in 2000, Libby, or I'm sorry, 2000 Libby. That was funny. I'm just going to read the article. In 2007, Libby was convicted on charges of perjury and obstruction of justice after he lied to FBI agents and a federal grand jury over who blew the cover of CIA agent Valerie Plame. After Plame's husband, Joseph Wilson, criticized the Iraq War. President Bush immediately commuted Libby's 30-month prison sentence for his role in the leak, but did not grant him a full pardon. Trump's reported pardon of Libby raises a prospect of similar pardons for former Trump campaign officials, including Michael Flynn and Rick Gates, who've secured plea deals after lying to FBI agents carrying out special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. So, yeah, during Bush, if you spoke out against something, he ruined a CIA's career and blew her cover. That's just one instance, and that's a big instance. But it was there was complete censorship in regards to the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War, not to mention how we were lied to by Colin Powell, weapons of mass destruction. So false flag. That is a clear false flag, false information, just being lied to. Just outright being lied to. Then Obama was absolutely the biggest prosecutor when it came to, not prosecutor, he was the biggest proponent, I guess, of going after journalists and censoring of journalists and in terms of arresting journalists. It's just more obvious under Trump. It didn't start with him. We're just paying more attention. I think that's it. I think that might be all I've got for today. So I will say again, if you would like to come on the show or if you know someone that would, please get in touch with me and we can make that happen. I would love it. And I will say thanks for listening. Remember to share the love, not the hate. Thank you. Love you. Bye.